This is one of three podcasts from our program. Subscribe to Market Analysis, Market Plus, and the MTOM today. Thank you.
This is the Friday, April 8, 2022 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. The first weekly report of USDA crop conditions revealed poor wheat and at-pace planting for corn. Now for the week, the nearby wheat contract added 67 cents, while May corn expanded 34 cents. Friday's WASDE report came in below expectations for ending stocks. The May soybean contract gained $1.06. May meal increased by $18.20 per ton. May cotton shrank $2.14 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, May Class 3 milk futures enlarged 36 cents. The livestock sector was down. June cattle shed 202. May feeders lost 675. And the June lean hog contract declined $5.87. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index rallied 120 ticks. May crude oil cut $1.32 per barrel. COMEX gold strengthened $19.10 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index decreased more than 7 points to finish at 714.10. Joining us now to provide some insight is Chris Robinson. Chris, good to see you.
Good to be here.
You know, last week, of course, there's the big, you know, intentions report. I'll ask you about that. But today we had a WASDE report. This was the other half of the shoe that some felt we didn't get last week. I mentioned a couple of headlines below expectations, but where did you see the WASDE report today?
I think it came in actually a little bit negative, more than people thought if you dug into the numbers right away. In fact, we had a little blip right when it first came out. But we're back to, you know, the market is very, very uncertain about what's going to happen with this growing season. So you saw that again with a really nice move. You mentioned it, the weekly changes for soybeans and corn. You know, in the last 6 days, new crop corn, especially this is a new crop issue. New crop corn at contract highs, 715, 716. You had November beans, which really got hammered on the acres report. That was a surprising acres number. That's come back strong. We were up $1.03 in the last 6 days, right back up to north of 1450. So the market is going to make sure that farmers get out there and plant this crop. And I think they're worried about the weather, really, at this point. That's what's the driver.
Let's talk weather and wheat because it is dry, as the report was earlier in the West. Talked to a Kansas producer this week, and he was just like, we are dry. We feel everything's moved east of us, and we keep missing. What does that weather story say on the winter wheat crop, and what are the ramifications for the world?
We're going to have to keep watching the wheat condition reports. I think that's going to move the market. And we've already had tremendous volatility, right? We started in January, we were at 750. You know, we rallied basically about 70%. You know, the wheat just exploded. And even today, we're at 1050. We're $3 higher than where we were in January. So that is, you know, I think going to be a continuing thing to watch. And it's going to be the condition of the crop. You know, the carryout today, actually, they increased the carryout for U.S. wheat. I think that was something that's, you know, was a little bit surprising. I think that the other thing we've seen, too, is we haven't had a huge increase in our exports. The exports for wheat are still running behind. And so I think that's going to be something to continue to watch. But, yeah, it's definitely going to be, you know, the wheat condition reports are going to be the driver. Also, I think, you know, as we start planting corn may become the driver, the leader, for the next few weeks.
Well, let's go into corn, and I'll tie in my first part about last week's intentions. That was as of March 1. March, as you mentioned, the last 6 weeks have been crazy. Do you think there is, and it's cold and wet, all of these things combined, what's the biggest pull if there's a change in acreage and we're going to maybe end up planting more corn?
Well, as soon as the acres report came out, people said, wait till June, right? That's just the way it is. We'll see, you know, when they update the acres. I think a lot of people, you know, when you saw $7 corn, you know, if anybody had a chance to reevaluate whether or not they want to plant corn or beans, that may be happening or about to happen. And I've seen some estimates, and I kind of agree with them. You could see a 500,000 acres shift. But that certainly was surprising to see, you know, 90 million acres for corn and about 1.5 million less acres, 90 million acres for soybeans and about 1.5 million acres less for corn. That may come out in the wash. You know, the cure for high prices is high prices. And I think if anybody was on the bubble about planting corn, certainly the action that we had this week with new contract highs is going to, you know, make them want to plant corn.
Even as we sit here and it's cold, and I saw snow this morning in Iowa and everywhere. It's cold. I mean, nobody's getting any early planting done. What does that mean? What's the impact of that?
Well, every year there's always issues with the delayed planting. We'll see. American farmers great at doing one thing, getting their crop in. And we've seen that in the past few years where it was too wet. 19 was terrible, right? I mean, you know, people were planting in July, and that's how late it was. It was really, really a wet year, but yet we had a good crop. So the American farmer, there's nobody better in the world at growing crops, and they'll get it in. But yeah, every time we have a delayed planting issue or anything like that, it's going to be supportive, and not that this market needs any support.
But you wrote just this morning, you said 6-week rally. And so I'm asking, is that about to come to an end?
That's the big question, right? We'll see. Now it's going to come down to, are we going to continue? You know, this is the old expression, the bull market needs to be fed every day. Right now, everybody's long. The farmer's long. I haven't seen the commitment of traders yet for today, but my guess is they bought more corn and beans just from the price action. You still have people in the financial community that want to own commodities because, you know, for the inflation hedge. And I don't think, I think that's the biggest risk. The biggest risk is everybody gets very, very bulled up, and then we have a perfect growing season. Then that's your risk.
Speaking of bulls, are they coming into the soybean pits anytime soon from China? Is that going to drive us?
You know, that was the one thing today in the WASDE report. They had lowered expectations for Chinese imports. Right now, with what's going on in China, their crush is lower. You know, they've been kind of nibbling at the soybean market, but, you know, they're running way behind schedule. And I don't know what the exact number is for how far behind they are on their commitments. I think a few months ago, Mr. Vilsack said they were $13 billion light, right? So they're still kind of lagging behind. I think that's going to be something, at the end of the day, you need the demand to hold those prices up. I'll say one thing, you know, the Chinese, they've tended to step in and buy the dips. They're very good at that. And I would continue to see that when we have this, you know, that was a pretty good dip that we had after the acres report, and they did step in and buy.
Another thing you like to write about is Mr. Market. What's Mr. Market telling you about soybeans right now?
Mr. Market is telling you that, you know, anybody that had a knee-jerk reaction to that acres report, if you made an emotional decision, you probably wish you hadn't. That was a pretty big break and then another rally. I think also, too, for 7 years, 8 years, we were pretty spoiled. We didn't have this type of volatility. We started seeing this volatility really coming off the bottom in 2020. I don't think it's going away anytime soon. But, you know, at the end of the day, when you see $15 beans, $14.50 beans, and $7.50 corn, and it's not even tax day yet, you know, this is a market that, for better or for worse, you know, especially the corn market, this is a market. And you can go out and look at the deferred months, 22, 23. It just keeps grinding higher. So that speaks volumes.
All right, well, let's flip this around. Let's take a viewer question. This comes from Gary in Franksville, Wisconsin on Twitter. He's at Farmer Kolb. He says, Chris, times like this, when every piece of news seems bullish and planting looks to be heading towards more of a normal time versus previous years. So his question is, what are the bears holding on to?
They're holding on to above trend line yields. If we do have a good growing season, now we're going to talk about the drought monitor later on. And what does that portend? I don't know. It's really going to be in the hands of Mother Nature. But if we were to get, right now the market's factoring in weather issues, you know, completely. If we were to get a perfect growing season, you know, we could fix the carryout problem in one season. Also, too, you got to remember, they're harvesting now in South America. They're going to take a look and see what happens with our corn prices, and they will be very, very interested in planting more corn. So I think the market will fix it. You go back and look, every time we've had these spikes, the corrections are pretty painful to the downside. Everybody seems to think that maybe this time is different. I haven't heard a lot of that yet. I think if we start hearing that, that might be the warning signal. So,
all right, well, let's look at livestock, because that's a little bit a drought story, but it's also a feed issue. Both cattle and Feeders this week look to be reacting to higher corn. Well, let's start with cattle. Do you buy that that was the biggest weight on that market?
Well, it's interesting. You know, just a couple months ago, we were at seven-year highs. We'd had a tremendous rally in the cattle, both fats and feeders. So we had that nasty correction in February to March, both in the feeders and the fats, really substantially, though, in the feeders. The feeders really, you know, that $20 break from a contract high to eight-month lows, I think that caught a lot of people surprised at how quickly that happened. And it was almost a knee-jerk reaction, I think, from the market world. Corn's going to be higher. You have to sell feeders. Now, we caught a little bit of a bid here towards the end of the week. I know a lot of guys that are long-term, very, very friendly cattle. You know, we're all familiar with the fact that the herd's too small. But I would continue to watch that. I think longer term, that's the other thing, too. The deferred months continue to look pretty good, especially for fat cattle and even lean hogs. We've had a little bit of a pullback, but those have been good trending markets. But, yeah, I'd say the weak link of all three of them has been the feeders, and it's just because it did not like, you know, $8 buck corn.
But it has that pull of, well, maybe we do want some beef. Maybe we are going to grill, and we have to get that through the system. Therefore, we need some feeders. What if we didn't have that pull?
Well, if we didn't have that pull, then I think that you might see some pushes towards other things. You were talking about earlier about the bird flu. A lot of people thought that was going to be really more supportive, I think, for cattle and for the lean hogs. It really wasn't. It really hasn't had much of a draw. But yeah, at the end of the day, protein is protein. We'll find a substitute for it. But I was just visiting with one of my cow calf guys in Indiana, and you know, they'll ride through the storm. At the end of the day, they're committed to that business. And I think if we can get a handle on where corn's going to be, that's going to be the key.
What are you telling those hog producers right now?
You better have corn calls on. And actually, I've been trying to have guys do that really for the last 2, 3, 4 months. In December, new crop corn was at 540. In 3 months, we've gone up tremendously already. So I don't want to be behind the eight ball if we go and have like an 88 type market. So the only way to prevent being surprised or hurt by a move like that, if we could go vertical, you have to have the only protection you have that will really help you for feed is you've got to have those calls on. And I don't care. You have out of the money calls or vertical bull call spreads, something where you've got a defined risk, where you know how much it's going to cost you, where you can't get whipsawed. I don't really recommend trading futures. That's too hard when it's moving like this. But go buy yourself call options and hope you don't need them.
All right. Thank you, Chris Robinson.
Thanks.
Good to see you.
Thanks.
That will do it for the installment of the TV show Market to Market. We're going to keep going in Market Plus. I've got a bunch of questions here from you. You can find that free on our website of markettomarket.org. The site that's rooted in images is springing to life. As you head to the field, follow and then tag Market to Market Show on Instagram in your post so that we can see your photo and then share it with others. Next week, we look at how one Kansas producer is answering the acreage question in a different way. Thank you for watching. Have a great week.